praise the Lord, I'm so beautiful. Come on, you should get that on the inside of you this morning. It's like, wow, I didn't realize how beautiful I am. Praise the Lord. And as soon as I got up here, my earring got tangled in my microphone, and they were so cute. There we go. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're beautiful. We're beautiful. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's just thank Him. Thank you for showing us. Thank you for revelation today. Thank you for such comfort and strength that comes directly, and faith that comes from your word today, empowering us to be who you made us to be. Everybody say, I'm beautiful. Say, I'm righteous. Say, I'm bold as a lion. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, what does that look like? What does that look like? I'll tell you what. Thank you, Pastor Joni, already. I mean, I'm just like, what am I here for? This is so good. I'm like, I'm so glad I came to the, oh no, I have to do something. I'm so blessed. What's it like to be you, Houston Faith Church? Praise the Lord. What a gift. What a tremendous gift. My faith has been built already. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I know that if mine is being built, yours is being built. Praise God. And so I believe we were talking about just tag teaming a little bit this morning. And I believe that what God would have me do is help you translate that now into expression.
Amen.
To translate that faith that's now in your heart. Amen. You see what He sees. You believe what He sees.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. But then that should be translated into expression. There's nothing about faith that's supposed to stay just with you. No, because the spirit of faith, the Bible says the spirit of faith in 2 Corinthians 4th chapter says, the spirit of faith is this, we believe and speak. Faith is not all private, you know, private trusting God just for my little. Faith always has expression. Always has expression. And because faith comes from God, the expression is not a duty just to do and to act something. The expression comes from the empowerment of God and your union with God, and that you do things with Him. Pastor said last night before we closed, you know, in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, that said, He has already said. Because He has already said, since He has already said that I will never leave you or forsake you, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He's my helper. He's my helper. We do things together. I do not just have assignments that He tells me to do something and then watches me do it.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Come on.
He's not a taskmaster. He's not just your boss.
Come on now. Help me. That's good.
Ladies, He's your husband. He's your husband, He's your father, you're in union with Him.
Amen.
Never apart from Him. I will never leave you or forsake you. This awareness that we've been fed with, the boldness and the beauty that's on the inside of us, is all because of Him. In the natural, I was not a candidate for boldness. Naturally speaking, I had no boldness in me. And I was the kind of person that I never wanted to look stupid doing anything for the first time. I got a few people in here. You're not going to raise your hand. You're like, right? Do you, anybody remember jump rope at recess? Because the girls are, you know, and you got the two of them going sometimes. You know, I was always that girl going like this the whole time. Next time. Right? One of these times it's going to be perfect, and I'm almost there. And then some little girl behind me would jump in and just start jumping and having a... I'm like... Didn't want to look stupid. Didn't want to, you know, look goofy. I wanted to do it perfect every time, the first time. And so what that would hold me back from doing anything because, you know... anybody like to watch HGTV or and things like that, you know? Love to watch the home improvement shows. And HGTV, I heard this is, it's how God talks vision. That's what that really means.
Oh, that's good.
But I like all the renovation stuff, you know. And so I've watched so many programs, you know, like that. And I feel like I know how to do it.
Yeah.
Right? Like I could drywall. I could tile. I could do it. And, you know, I've watched it enough times that I feel like, you know, I could tile, but I will be honest with you, if I actually did it, which I've never done, if I actually did it, I'm certain it wouldn't be pretty the first time. There's some skill that gets developed. Everybody say developed. Amen. Everybody say developed. Skill is not natural, it's developed. Talent, you know, sometimes is a gift, you know, from God. And sometimes people are super talented with things and they don't really have to practice doing things. But how many of you have learned that just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're good at it? Let me say it again. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're good at it. Don't look at anybody right now, but you know, we've all met people or heard of people who are saved, and you go, really? They're born again? They're not very good at it. You know. And so skill takes a little bit of development. And the same thing is true in the things of God. We can get all excited about our boldness that we have on the inside. We can get all excited about this beauty we're discovering on the inside. And we can get, you know, and then we start second guessing and going, wait a minute, I'm not very good at that. I don't know if I want to take that first step because what if I don't do it well? What if I fall down? What if I make a mistake? What if I look stupid? What if I, and then you never do anything? But this faith is meant to be expressed. And as Pastor was just saying, you know, it's about people. Our relationship with God is not just me and Him. It's about the connection with other people. And you have a supply of the Spirit for someone else. How many of you can testify that at some point, at some time, you've been in a conversation with another person, and you said something to them that you know didn't come from your brain? And they somehow communicated back with you, "I never thought of that. I never saw that. Thank you." Or, how many of you can testify? Ladies, that's unction. That's unction from the Holy Spirit. Amen. To help you express boldness. Express beauty. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I, like I said, I was not a candidate for boldness, partly because of that whole "I don't want to look stupid" thing, and partly because I think I like a little too much control. Don't look at anybody. I didn't realize this about myself until some years ago. My mom was in the hospital. My mom and dad were pastors for many years, and it was found that my mom had a tumor, and so they said, "Well, we got the surgeon ready. We can take it out right away." She goes, "Well, okay, do that." So she was in the hospital, and so my sister and I went to be there with her. And now my mom's got sticky notes all over her house with confessions, and this is the way we grew up. I mean, there's stuff on the mirror, there's stuff on the fridge, there's stuff everywhere, who I am and all these declarations. And so I looked at my sister, I said, "Are you concerned about mom?" She goes, "Mm-mm." I said, "Me either." And so we were there at the hospital with her and recovering stuff. And so I was there for a couple days. And then I had to go back on the road. And the hospital liaison's telling me the next steps that's going to happen with her and stuff. So I started to tear up. And the lady said to me, she goes, "Well, she's in good hands. She's going to be all right." I said, I know. I'm not concerned. I'm not afraid of anything. And on the inside, I was like, wait a minute. The thing I'm crying about is I can't control what happens from here on out. I'm not the one with her. And I went, who am I? What was I thinking? What was I thinking? This control thing that we like to be in control is not a godly thing. It's not a godly attitude. It's not a godly attribute. Because what we need to be is yielded. Yielded. Look with me to John's Gospel, the 12th chapter, if you would. John chapter 12. Pardon the sound of my gravelly voice. You may not, since you don't know me, you don't know that that's not normal. But it doesn't hurt or anything like that. It just sounds funny. But John chapter 12, Jesus said these words, verse 49. "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." We have an amazing, amazing example in the life of our Lord Jesus, the very Son of God. But he said, "I don't say anything except what he says." That's amazing constraint. That's amazing constraint, but it's an amazing yieldedness and trust. He said, "I trust him. I trust him." I came out of a background of singing and acting and singing stuff, school plays, and not like professional acting, but that kind of thing, performance. And it's what got me started in the things of God. Actually, the music kind of led me right into the path of God. And so I was always singing, performing, and all that. And that requires a lot of diligence. It requires a lot of practice. It requires a lot of rehearsal so you don't look stupid. Right? And so my background was always rehearsing to make sure that you knock out all those kinks so that when it comes time to get up there, you're ready. And so that was my training, my background. I saw a thing on Facebook the other day. Somebody said, Mozart wrote his first symphony at 8 years old. And he said, and I've been rehearsing for the last 5 minutes how I'm going to order my KFC at the drive-thru. How am I going to, how do you say it right? Or Starbucks, anybody, you know, how do you say it right? Did you do it right? You know, and you go over and over it in your mind and rehearse it and all of that. And when it comes to the things of God, I have noticed that rehearsing it doesn't help. Because rehearsing it will talk you right out of the conversation you need to be having with the person God has you with. I was at a checkout stand one day. Excuse my eyes watering. I was at a checkout stand one day at a fabric store. I was doing a little project at home and went to the fabric store, and I'm standing there, and I'm, you know, I just a few days at home, and so I just wanted to do this project and go, you know, I don't want to interact with anybody. And so I'm there at the checkout stand, and this lady in front of me is talking to the cashier, and she says, how's your day going? And the cashier says, oh man, she said, I've got a headache. She said, I would give this to anybody who would take it. Is this not an opening? I mean, is that an opening or what? Right? And I'm like there going, oh, just... Now, when I was a kid, side thought here, when I was a kid, we lived in Wisconsin when I was growing up, and firecrackers and things like that were legal. I don't know what they are here in Texas, but we played with firecrackers a lot around 4th of July, you know. And we had a little lakefront place that my cousins and us would all be at in the summer. And so around the 4th of July, we'd find dead fish that would wash up on the beach, and we'd dress them all up with seaweed and stuff on it, and then put some firecrackers in its mouth. I did. And then we would light it and run. And, you know, why we'd run, right? And but sometimes those firecrackers wouldn't ignite. And they would do nothing. And we called those duds. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hey, we got a dud. It's a dud. It's not doing anything. It's a dud. And so with that in mind, I'm there at the cash at the checkout, and she's like, I would give this headache to anybody who would take it. And I said nothing. I said nothing. I went out of the place, and I got in my car, and the Holy Ghost was waiting for me in the car. And he said, you're a dud. And I knew exactly what he meant. I didn't explode. I didn't do anything. I've got this power on the inside of me, and I gave it no expression at all. Opening big enough to drive a truck through, and easy opening. I could have just said, Jesus took your, he took your pain. He took your pain. Can I pray for you? Easy. Not 100 people around, not 1,000 people around. One other person. How intimidating is that? And I'm a preacher, for crying out loud. And he said, if there's somebody with an issue, I should just be able to get a believer there. All I need to do is get a believer in front of that person. Get a believer in front of that person. Amen. And he goes, and I thought you had it. You got all that in you. Why didn't you do anything with it? I'm like, me? I got in the way. And sometimes just rehearsing things or thinking you've got to have some sort of prepackaged something will leave you out of the most thrilling experiences in God. The most thrilling thing to be used by God when you can testify, like you did just a few minutes ago, that I said something that I know didn't come from my head, but it helped somebody. And you're like, wow. I mean, the Holy Ghost will make you look good. He'll make you look so smart. He'll make you look so attractive, right? That beauty is because it answers. It answers things. That's what's so beautiful, that it answers questions. It meets needs, and you have Him in you.
Right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. But that little girl at the jump rope, you know, you hear something, you go, oh, next time I'll do it. We served Brother Hagin's ministry, my husband and I, in our 20s. We were there at Rhema and Kenneth Hagin Ministries for 10 years and served in the ministry there with them and were on the platform with the Hagins and became very close with them. And part of our responsibilities at those times, you know, we were doing crusades at that time in big convention centers and things, so part of my responsibility, I was the vocal director for the Rhema Singers and Band, the group that was there, but I did the music for the altar calls, you know, kind of led worship and things like that. And so when Brother Hagin would be wrapping up the message and getting ready to do the healing line, you know, we'd sing songs, you know, and people come down for the altar call. And so it was just musical part was my contribution. That was where my training came from. That's where I felt useful. That's where I felt helpful. And so one day, without warning, Brother Hagin, we're in a crusade, and I'm up there ready to just lead the songs after he gives the altar call, you know. And he says, every head bowed and every eye closed, so nobody's looking around. And all of a sudden, he looks at me, never done it before. He looked at me, and he just mouthed the words, because everybody could have heard him on the microphone. He just mouthed the words, give the altar call. To me. I'm a singer. I sing. I don't talk. He said, give the altar call. And I looked at him and I went.
No.
I did, Pastor. I did. I went. Mind you, everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody even knows what's happening but me and Brother Hagin. And he stopped looking at me, and he gave the altar call. And I thought, everything just drained out of me, and I thought, I am so fired. I am done here. My ministry is over, if I ever had one. It's just gone. I just told Brother Hagin, no. Is that done? Do people do that?
No.
And he just went ahead and gave the altar call. And afterwards, I'm like, he didn't say a word to me. He didn't do anything. I'm like, oh my goodness. And so I went to our crusade director, one of our bosses, and I went, Brother Hagin asked me to give the altar call, and I told him no. I said, please tell him I'm so sorry. If he ever asks me again, I'll be ready. I promise. Because I'm that next time girl. Don't put me on the, now in front of everybody without rehearsing. Don't you know I listened to every altar call intently after that? I wasn't thinking about the song I was going to do. I was like, how do you do that? So a few months went by, and again, without warning, every head bowed, every eye closed, he just looked at me. We never spoke of it in between. We never said anything. And he just looked at me again, and he goes, give the altar call. And I went, I'm ready. I had it memorized. I was like, I could do his altar call word for word. I'm a rehearser. I'm a practicer. And I got up there. And the Lord is my helper. All of a sudden, there was compassion. He gave me things to say because he knew every lost person in that building. And he gave me things I had not planned to say. I had no idea I would say. But there he was. Boldness, not my own, not from me, because I would have run the other direction. But all of a sudden, he, the greater one, is helping me, not pushing me, amen, but helping me. Amen. Amen. Gave that altar call and people actually came. After that, I was pretty much the altar call girl. And after a while, Brother Hagin, he just stopped doing it. He just pointed at me, get up there and do it. And people kind of knew me as the girl who always gave the altar calls. And so I did that. And helped him in those areas. And then one day, is this okay? Just telling some testimonies of, yeah? Because this is how you have to break out, amen, and yield to him in the things that are yet unseen, the things that are not pre-rehearsed, amen. And again, like Pastor was saying, is not to mean you don't take care of yourself and not to say that you don't study to show yourself approved and all these things that are in the preparation time. But it's not so that you can be perfect by yourself to do something the way you think is the acceptable way to approach or to back off by thinking, what if they ask me a question I don't know? What if there's opposition? What if there's something else? The Holy Ghost is your helper. Another time when we were serving there at the ministry at Rhema, one of the instructors who would teach a daily healing class called me at home, and he said, I have to be away. I've got something that came up with my family. Can you teach the healing class today? And today. And I said, no. Why are you calling me? There's a staff of instructors. I'm a singer. I give altar calls, but I'm a singer. And so he said, can you teach healing school? I said, no. He said, why not? I go, because I've never done it. He goes, well, You're in all of Brother Hagin's crusades. Do you take notes? I said, well, yes, of course I take notes. He goes, well, preach those. And I'm like,
amen.
No. I'm just telling you, this is where I started. No. No to God at the checkout store. No to Brother Hagin giving altar calls. No to this instructor asking me to do. No. And we hung up the phone. My answer was no. And then I started crying. I'm weeping. All this just came over me, just weeping. And my husband came in like, who did you just talk to and who died? And I said, well, so-and-so called and asked me to do healing school. And I said, no. And I said, God, use me. Oh, God, use me. Oh, God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want. No. We teach healing school. No. I pray. Oh, God, use me. Use my voice when I sing. Use my... Don't give him what you think you have. You give him everything. Everything. Jesus said, I don't say anything on my own authority. Whatever he commands me, I just do that. Ladies, it's so safe. Just doing what he says. Just doing what he said. And so I cried about that, and then months later, here comes my next time. And the same person called me back. We'd never discussed it in between times. And they called me back again, said, will you teach healing school? I said, yes, I will. Yes, I will. And at that time, I still had never taught anything. I'd exhorted a little bit in crusades and, in between songs and things like that, but I'd never taught a whole message. And so I wrote everything down on a piece of paper. I mean everything. I wrote my name at the top so I would introduce myself to the class. I wrote the words turn to before my scripture on my notes so I would say turn to instead of just John 12. I had no skill. And it was just a class for people needing healing. It wasn't a big class. It was maybe 30, 35 people that were showing up. And so it was in a certain building on the campus and the Prayer and Healing Center. And so I was in a little kitchen break room area getting ready, going over all my notes and all my turn twos and everything. And just again, rehearse. And I heard a voice out in the foyer. It sounded a lot like Brother Hagin. And I heard him say, where's Sister Annie at? There goes all my blood again. And I got up from the table in the little break room and I went out to the foyer and sure enough, there he was. And I said, here I am. And I said, what are you doing here? And he said, I came to hear you preach.
No!
Oh, no. She's worse. No. No.
First time. I came to hear you preach. And I said, no, you didn't. I said, please go away. Now, mind you, this is Kenneth Hagin Ministries. And there are people who have come to healing school for healing because of Kenneth Hagin. And he's there. And I'm telling him to go away. And they're most likely thinking, why don't you go away? Let him stay. We don't know who you are. He laughed so hard. He said, I can go in my office and push a button and hear you. And I said, I won't see you. And he just came to mess with me. That's all he did. And then left. He left. And left me with, "Hello, my name is Annie Durant. Turn to," you know. And before I knew it, the turn to became unction. He helped me. Because he loves people. Because it's not about me. It's about you. It's about them. Come on. And he wants to help you because he knows how to get to them. He knows how to get to them. Amen. So how do you take those steps? If you're like me and you say no first. At some point, you got to say yes. Amen. Amen. But I found over the time that it's, as Pastor said last night in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, he has said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." When you get a taste of the greater one helping you say things, you know? I mean, I could have been intimidated already today just by last night and this morning with Pastor Joni. Seriously, I've been in the ministry 40-some years, and I still so admire the gift in other people. Because what we see on them is him. The thing you love so much is him. The thing you admire, the thing you respect is him. So if you will recognize that him is in you, the same him in her, the same him in me is the same him in you. And you'll start drawing on him instead of imitating her. You'll be you, but him. Because it's no longer I that lives. It's no longer I that lives. Listen, if you have a huge self-image problem, it's because you have a self-image. Yes, we are to learn to love ourselves, as Pastor so beautifully put it this morning, but don't stop with just the self-self part. The inner man self is him in you, union with you. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Don't be a dud. Amen. So how to develop and get better at laying tile? How to know how to navigate and what are the best steps? What do you do first? What do you do second? What do you do third? What do you do? How many of you, we've already been emphasizing the infilling of the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues. How many of you do that? How many of you realize that speaking and praying with other tongues is not just the type of prayer to make requests only? Don't just pray in tongues when you've run out of your own requesting. Don't just pray in tongues as your, you know, follow-up to your crying out to God and, "Well, I don't know what else, so I'll just pray in other tongues." But really, and Brother Hagin put it this way, and I can't improve on it, that when you pray in other tongues, you hook up your tongue to your spirit. You hook up your tongue to your spirit. And this inward man that we're talking about, that we're trying to live out of our inward man, not trying, we're endeavoring to make that the important part of us and be more aware of that part of us so that we move from that place always. Every interaction with God is through the heart. And so when you pray in other tongues, you hook up your tongue to your spirit instead of your tongue to your mind. It's a brilliant exercise. And when you first got filled, how many of you remember when you first got filled and you began to speak with other tongues and you realized you're not making this up? This isn't me. It's coming from here. It's not coming from here. How many of you remember that moment? Yeah. Amen. Supernatural. Right? Supernatural. Hallelujah. They were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak, filled with the Spirit and began to speak. The first thing he touched was your mouth. The first thing he touched was your mouth. Praise God. And so it was absolutely supernatural. How many of you realize it's still absolutely supernatural? You might be used to yielding now to the point where you don't have to have all the feels, right? But every time you speak with other tongues, it's absolutely him and you joined one spirit. Amen. He gives the utterance every time. You're not giving the utterance. He's giving the utterance every time. And the more aware of him you are in those moments, you don't let your mind drift. You don't let your mind go somewhere else. You pay attention to the one that you're hooked up with. The more you recognize his voice giving you unction, then you realize, and some of you do know this already, that when you pray, sometimes when you're praying in other tongues, English words come out, right? And you start to kind of know what it is you're praying about. You get an idea, you get an impression, you see some things, you know, in your spirit. And so what you're doing is you're yielding to the Holy Spirit in you with your voice. The more you do that and connect this to this, the more when you're at the checkout stand, if something comes over you, going, I'm not saying, just under your breath, hook up your tongue to your spirit. You don't have to do it out loud, but just under your breath, you know you're doing the, you get up there, how you doing today? I heard you say something to that other lady. I know exactly how you feel, and the Bible tells me that Jesus, you know, just conversation. You don't have to give scripture text, verse. You don't have to have an outline. You don't have to have the thing. Sometimes just a moment, just a something. Amen. Are you getting something? All of this that we've been empowered with already has expression. This is one of the reasons we pray in other tongues often, because it creates the awareness of me cooperating with him with my mouth. Right. Not just in my prayer time, but in my expression in life and my interaction with other people. Praise God. I am no longer afraid of being put on the spot. Thankfully, after 30-some years of saying no the first time. But the reason I am no longer afraid is because the Lord has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And he has been there every single time. And so there are times I have no clue what I'm going to say. Sometimes to thousands of people. But I know this, he'll never leave me or forsake me. So I always know I'll have the next word when I need it. I'll have the next thing when I need it. Because it's not about me, it's about him. And it's about him giving me unction for the people that need to have an answer. I don't have to be smart. I just have to yield. Glory to God. Glory to God. There are people in your life, people in your path that will never come in contact with Pastor Joni until you get them. Amen. Don't just limit your interactions to inviting people to church. Be the church. Be the church and then get them here. Amen. It's no wonder people don't want to go to church. They don't know this church. They don't know churches like this exist. They have a different thing in there. So when you say come to church, it's really going to bless you. They're like, yeah. But if you'll bless them, if you'll introduce them to him talking to them, they'll go, wait, well, I haven't ever heard that before. Yeah, this is the stuff we get in my church. This is the stuff that's turned my life around. This is the thing that has changed me. And I can't get enough of this. And you're like, really? Did that really say something? I'd never thought of that before. Yeah, this is the kind of stuff we get at our church. Come with me sometime. Start the little.
Amen.
Amen. Don't just stand there at recess. Get that image in your brain, right? Yeah. The number one fear people have is the fear of public speaking. Number one fear. Not the fear of death. The fear of public speaking. Don't put that microphone in front of me. Don't put me on the spot. You're not on the spot. You're not on the spot. It's not on you. Him and you. You're like, oh, cool. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Accept it today. Accept it today. Say, I'm not a dud. Amen. Glory to God. Say, I'm bold. I'm righteous. I'm beautiful. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There ought to be something stirring on the inside of you today. There ought to be something stirring on the inside of you today. Sometimes it's just kind of looking back over those opportunities that have been missed. Right? And going, wait a minute, I could have done that. I could have done that. But don't kick yourself about it. Just go on forward.
Amen.
Just move on forward. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you for boldness. Glory to God. How many of you had hands laid on you last night for boldness and for, come on, let me see your hands. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you getting something today? I'm telling you, you all were sponges last night. Receiving the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Time to do something. Time to do something with it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift up our hands again one more time. Just eyes on Him. Just eyes on Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy. Hallelujah. Oh, how wonderful you are. How good you are to us. Praise the Lord.